Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Life.
Love. And health.
I'm Christopher Springman, and you're listening to Life, Love, and Health. Starting the conversation about hospice care. The ideal time to have that discussion about end-of-life issues, in the opinion of our next guest, and I certainly agree with him, is with the family and your healthcare provider early on in the process, so hospice can do what it does best, provide comfort, love, and respect for the dying, while giving survivors positive, enduring memories of that death that they carry for a lifetime. Our next guest is Dr. Donald Schumacher, CEO and President of the National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization. Dr. Schumacher, welcome to Life, Love, and Health.
Thank you, Christopher. Nice to talk with you.
Comfort, love, respect for the dying. That has a very, very appealing sound to it, doesn't it?
It does, and in fact, it is what, when you talk with family members or patients who are actively receiving hospice care, that's generally the feeling that people are left with, that they are being treated with dignity, comfort, love, respect, and that the dying process, although sad, does not need to be painful, isolating, or alone as the patient goes through the process. So I hold those out as very strong values based on what it is that we do.
The National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization just released its annual publication, Facts and Figures, Hospice Care in America, which reports on hospice trends and provides updated information on the growth, delivery, and quality of hospice care in the U.S., which is growing. Can you speak to that?
Absolutely. In 2011, these are the most recent statistics, we have 1.65 million people receiving hospice care in the United States, which was essentially 44.6% of all deaths in the United States received hospice care in 2011. So it is very, very, for us, meaningful that more individuals are availing themselves of this delivery model of good palliative care to support patients largely at home, be it their own residential home or a nursing home, where they're receiving the kind of comprehensive services necessary to have their lives end in peace, comfort, and dignity. So it's incredible to me. There is now, almost 5,000 hospices in the United States, and that's just a huge change since I started in this organization of hospice in the early 1980s, where there were less than 100 programs. Now there are 5,000, and that's also a testament to the fact that, that we have an aging population, and there's greater understanding and acceptance that hospice, when invited into your life, can give you the support necessary in order for your life to end in a way that you would like, rather than one that is alone, isolated, and perhaps potentially full of pain and difficulty.
We're speaking with Dr. Donald Schumacher, CEO and President of the National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization. Don, where can our listeners get more information about your annual publication, Hospice Care in America, and frankly, learn more about hospice and palliative care in general?
Thanks for that question. Yeah, you can go to our website, which is www.nhpco.org. All of that material in terms of the facts and figures are listed on the website. In addition to that, there's a lot of answers to questions that people may have about hospice that are there. So please encourage people to do that. If there are things that they have questions about that they don't find on the website, they can call our office at 837-1500 and ask for somebody to talk with about issues that might relate to their hospice needs at that point in time.
In that report, you expressed some concerns. You said, while we continue to see more dying Americans opting for hospice care at the end of their lives, far too many receive care for a week or less.
That is one of the commitments that I have, personal commitments that I have, having been involved in this organization and in this field now for so long. About one third of the patients who received hospice care, of that 1.65 million people, received it for 7 days or less. There are a number of individuals that received it for longer periods of time. But if you are somebody with a serious and terminal illness, and you are in the process of dying, and you are living for a long period of time, perhaps in discomfort and pain, not communicating effectively with your family, or with your physician, what we find is that the process and the tasks of dying are hard to complete.
Right. You've also said that we need to reach patients earlier in the course of their illness to ensure that they receive the full benefits that hospice and palliative care can offer. And one way to assure that people receive the care that they want and expect is to have two documents. One is called an advance directive, and the other is called a PULSED, and that's an acronym for Physician's Order for Life-Sustaining Treatment. Can you expand upon those and why they're so important to not only an individual but their family?
Any of us that have paid attention to the news over the last 5 to 10 years have seen story after story, one of the most famous ones being Terri Schiavo down in Florida, where a young woman in a persistent vegetative state, not receiving the kind of opportunity for support that hospice provides for a variety of different issues, the largest one of being that she had no stated need of her own or no stated declaration of what she wished to happen for her should she not be able to make decisions on her own. Advanced directives and PULSED give your family members and your physician the guidelines with which you wish to be cared for should you not be able to articulate your needs and make decisions for your care.
And the time to do that is when? The time to secure those documents is when?
It's today. Whenever I do my speech, I ask people in the audience, how many of you have advanced directives? And about half usually put their hands up. And then I follow that up by saying, now how many of you are lying to me? People feel as though they should have these things. Those of the individuals that know a little bit about what it is, it is still the conundrum to me that people don't have this in place. Now, it's the time to have it in place is not when you're in the midst of a medical crisis. And the time to have a conversation about hospice and palliative care is not when you're in the midst of a medical crisis either. You need to have these conversations very, very far upstream. And I believe that everybody, regardless of age or status in life, should have this as a part of their planning. And, you know, I certainly do have it attached to my will, should I not be able to make decisions and my physician needs information. So it is something that I think is getting better in terms of people recognizing it, but still folks wait way too long in order to fill them out.
Right. Now, there is a common misconception that hospice care is giving up. What are your thoughts about that? And I know you have an opinion.
I have a very strong opinion about that. You know, the reality of dying, the reality of living, I guess, the reality of dying is something that all of us struggle with. The fact of the matter is, however, if we delay recognizing that we have something serious going on, we do certainly, I think, long-term damage to our families and then potentially short-term damage for ourselves. It doesn't mean that you can't continue to try and feel well and receive good support and provide the love and caring for your family members should you decide to elect the hospice Medicare benefit, as an example. But what it does mean is that you are foregoing treatment that may not necessarily be a curative in nature, nor designed to prolong your life. The fact of the matter is, this is an inevitability that everybody has to face, and I wish all of us could recognize that you can still be hopeful for many things as you go through that process. You may not be able to hope for a very, very long life, but in reality, that's an issue that all of us deal with.
Well, you have stated, Don, that hospice provides the care that people want. In fact, research has shown that 8 out of 10 Americans would prefer to be at home at the end of life, and hospice can certainly make that happen.
Yeah, over 90% of our patients' families, our patients and their families receive hospice support in a home-like setting, and that's where people really would prefer to be.
Our guest has been Donald Schumacher, CEO and President of the National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization. I'd like to give their website again, which is nhpco.org, and also caringinfo.org. That's a great place to secure more information about hospice, isn't it?
At Caring Info, actually, you can not only get information about hospice, but you can also learn about your state advanced directives and the state that you're living in.
Don, thank you so much for joining us today on Life, Love, and Health. You're a wonderful guest, and I look forward to speaking with you again.
So do I, Christopher. Thank you.
I'm Christopher Springman, and you are listening to Radio MD.